first of his signs in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. When ministers are guests at a wedding reception and are asked what they do, since they're not a black robe, they don't look like a minister. One of three things usually happens. The person asking suddenly needs to revisit the bar for a refill, never to be seen again. Or the person confessing, or the person confesses that she used to go to church, used to read the Bible, used to believe in God, but she no longer does any of those things for various and sundry reasons. Begins to talk about being spiritual rather than religious. The third is sometimes the most confounding response for those of us who spend our lives wrestling in particular with the God who addresses us in Scripture and in Jesus Christ and in the apostolic witness of the church. Spiritual in response to what? Spiritual according to who? Spiritual meaning what exactly? Yet in this pluralistic world, unless you have no one to talk with at a wedding reception, an admirable minister's instinct is to be theologically inclusive about the other person's experience of, well, spiritual things. Imagine that is your instinct too. Even if you are only vaguely familiar with the words of Scripture, and even though you would be too embarrassed to counter with a word about Jesus at a wedding reception, still, you think to yourself, the love that came down at Christmas precludes identifying the God you know in Jesus Christ with the disembodied God born of human imagining. We do not see everything the preacher to the Hebrews declared, but we do see Jesus. He is the lens through which we look when we are looking for God in the world. And because of his visitation, to borrow the words of W.H. Auden's Simeon, because of his visitation, we may no longer desire God as if he were lacking. Our redemption is no longer a question of pursuit, but of surrender to him who is always and everywhere present. The crux these days is that most Christians either forget to bring their biblical and theological lenses with them when they leave the sanctuary, or the lenses they are wearing were last round for them when they graduated from confirmation class, or their present lenses are the kind they might buy at Walgreens because generic lenses are sufficient in a pinch to keep their focus, their faith in focus. I'm going to block that metaphor, but there's more. At the end, all of this is a long lead-up to the reason that Sundays that begin with Epiphany and end with the Transfiguration are so helpful. This is the season when we are invited to see and believe through the eyes of those who first saw and believed that God was in Christ. Every Sunday in the season, we imagine God the ophthalmologist. Where's Alice Lee Tasman? I thought of her the whole time I was writing this. mercifully, there are 8 Sundays, the maximum. Perhaps this year will give us time and grace enough to see and believe. But see what? And believe how? Or see how? And believe what? Thus far, in Matthew's Gospel, the Magi have seen the light of a star that led them to see the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and gave him homage. Post-Christmas, shall we follow the stars? Or a child? One or two? In Luke's Gospel, the heavens open and Jesus alone sees the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove in bodily form, and hears the voice from heaven say, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Post-baptism, shall we follow John the Baptizer? One. Or his cousin at the end of the line? Jesus, too. In John's Gospel, the first of Jesus' signs in Cana of Galilee revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Post-Epiphany, shall we hang our hearts on religion or on Revelation? In his prologue, John says of the apostles, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." What did they see? And what are we led to see through their witness? In a word, they saw light. In him was light, John wrote also in his prologue, and the light was the light of all people. In John, God is light itself. It's the source of light. It's the light that radiates and reaches all people in person. It's the light that exposes the darkness. It's the light that opens blind eyes to recognize God in the face of Jesus Christ. God the ophthalmologist began fitting God's people to see the light of God's glory dwelling in them long ago. Israel's lens is the baseline of our home. In the first fitting, God's glory, God's light, filled the Ark of the Covenant, that portable dwelling place for God, and God dwelt with the people as they zigzagged through the wilderness. In the second fitting, God's glory filled the temple Solomon built in Jerusalem. In the third, right before the Babylonians marched into the city and destroyed the temple, Ezekiel says the glory of God, the light of God, left the city, even as the prophet was given a vision for the glory returning as the second temple was built. In the fourth day, after the second temple was destroyed in 70 A.D., the dwelling place of God's glory, of God's light, became a matter of debate and division. Rabbinic Judaism saw God's glory dwelling in the words of the law and the prophets as they waited for Messiah to come. Jewish Christians saw God's glory dwelling in Jesus Christ. Witnesses fought having anticipated the Messianic age, John's community glimpsed the promised Messianic banquet. In the abundance of wine drawn from jugs traditionally used in the Jewish rites of purification. The steward did not know where the wine came from. The guests did not know where the wine came from. Only the servants who obeyed Jesus knew. Only Jesus' mother, who said, "Do whatever he tells you," a word to the early church, only Jesus' mother knew. God says Jesus did this. This is the first of Jesus' signs in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory. Took the initiative to be known. Revealed the light of the glory of God dwelling in him, tabernacling in him, pitching a tent in him in the midst of a party. Yet Jesus' question is oddly our question too. What concern is this to you and to me? How does a sign Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee, or any of these stories for that matter, how does that give us eyes to see God's glory in Chestnut Hill and Philadelphia? In 90 AD, that was already a question being asked by John's community. Just think of it, Jesus hadn't been seen since the appearances before his ascension, 60 years before, a lifetime, a generation before. In John's gospel, Jesus will later praise those who believe without signs, or who believe on the basis of signs seen by others who were with Jesus. He had us in mind. Moreover, Jesus will say to those who have faith in him that they will perform the same works that he performed, so in fact, even works greater than his. Here, John is thinking of the church's works, which by then were largely replacing the miraculous manifestations of God's presence and power with what? Baptism and the supper. God's presence in the sacraments. Seeing God in the sacraments. You know, I'm going to say this. I took it up because I tried to keep these to 17 minutes now, but I'm going to say this anyway because it's a very cool detail that I found out on my last sabbatical. And that is that God, in medieval times, the sacrament, when the priest consecrated, some of you are Catholic here, so back then when the priest prayer and the sacraments, as we focus our eyes on the light that shines in the darkness, the light that is the life of all people. So if over the course of these 8 Sundays, and through our diligent sent him to you for your benefit and his, but that is the perfection of the disguise, his own ignorance of it. That is also the way the light overcomes the darkness in us, the way the Word becomes flesh in us, the way the Logos became God's Word to me in a Mary Oliver poem. A poem that surely reveals God's glory. What wonder, she writes, about the loaves and the fishes. If you say the right words, the wine expands. If you say them with love and the felt necessity of that love, the fish explode into many. Imagine him speaking, and don't worry about what is reality, or what is plain, or what is mysterious. If you were there, it was all those things. If you can imagine it, it is all those things. Eat, drink, be happy, accept the miracle, accept too each spoken word spoken.